from, I think, just a deep love of nature. I grew up in a council estate in South London, but it was just 3 minutes walk out into London's Greenbelt, and everything was around us, woods, streams, and etc. And a primary school teacher who very much encouraged that sort of love. And so that's where it came from. And it led me to going to university to do natural sciences and a PhD in DNA biochemistry. And then a career in academic research and teaching, most recently here at Exeter, where I was the professor of cell and molecular biology. That means genes and stuff, and DNA. And so.
I'm glad you clarified that for me.
But I have retired from that now, but I still do some writing, speaking, and that sort of thing. I was in Exeter School on Friday, for example.
Fantastic. John. John's written a book as well. I think several things that you've written, John, but I've got one here, my signed copy. You can't have it, I'm afraid. But available on the internet, From the Big Bang to Biology, Where is God? So a really amazing question to kind of work through. But John, just tell us a little bit about, you know, when you read the Psalms, you know, Julia's read Psalm 19 to us, but when you read the Psalms and how they speak of the beauty and wonder of creation, are there any particular parts of Psalm 19 or other psalms that you just love just to think about and ponder as a scientist?
I think there's a beauty. I mean, that description of the heavens is so poetic in Psalm 19, and there is an indication that, you know, that we interact with God because He gives us precepts and laws. But I think that's very much more focused in Psalm 8, where again the psalmist is looking up. When I think about that lot up there, it's just amazing. And yet, you care about humans. And I think that is the kind of tension that we have as Christians, that if you know as much about the creation as many scientists do, you come to the conclusion that if there is a creator, it must be incredibly powerful, incredibly wise, incredibly clever, incredibly skillful, and something beyond anything we can imagine. And that puts a God out there. I think, you know, it is quite easy to believe in God if you think about that. But then there's this other bit that you care about us. And I think that is a kind of, that's the key, I think, to my understanding of some of the things we see in the Psalms. Other Psalms talk about, incidentally, they talk about the biology. We are wonderfully made. And I think that's also quite important. That's in Psalm 139.
Yeah.
So I love that. And if I'm going to wander out of the Psalms, staying in the wisdom literature, I love, there are four chapters of Job to just blow you away as God challenges Job. Do you know how to unloosen Orion's belt? That's a lovely phrase. Do you know how the ravens search for their food? So there's a bit of biology in there too, see.
Amazing, amazing. And John, as you've journeyed through life, how has God's creation and your response to it shaped you and formed you?
Well, it was love of God's creation that got me into science in the first place. And I continue, as an academic scientist, to believe that we are uncovering how the Creator made the universe or made these cells to work. One example I could give is that I remember one morning I was talking to one of my postdoctoral researchers in my research group, and we'd planned quite a complicated experiment to test an idea we had, and it turned out that idea was right. And at that point, Karen and I and our technician, Paul, were the only three people on Earth who knew that. And then I thought, but God knew it already. Yeah. And that's before we rushed down to the coffee room to tell them what was going on.
Wow. And John, like, obviously you, you know, you've obviously had obviously the skill and the, you know, to look right at the, you know, the most intricate part of makeup of being, and yet you got have a big view as well. And, you know, is there anything that your work's enabled you to see that you kind of wish we could all get a bit more of a understanding of?
Well, I mean, speaking as a person who loves DNA and all that, I wish you could all, if you like, sense the wonder that I feel every time I think about how our cells are working. And every single one of our cells at the minute, there are several thousand reactions going on, controlled by our genes. when we think about, you know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139, we started as one cell and our genes all switched on and off at the right time, in the right place, in an integrated manner to give us these amazing humans I see here and here. What an amazing array of God's creation. And with the 13 million, million cells that now work together all the time in an integrated way to keep us functioning. That is a wonder, and I wish people could just take that on board. It is quite incredible.
And I, in reading some of your book, I'm going to quote you. I hope this is all right. But I love this. When I read this, it says that you wrote this: the universe appears to be imbued with purposeful design. And this becomes ever more apparent as science progresses, revealing that the cosmos is an ordered system governed by laws. Why the universe has the appearance of purposeful design remains unresolved, unless, of course, there is a designer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I loved reading that.
Yeah.
John, as we, obviously I could ask you a lot more questions, but, you know, as we go out this week, what would you encourage us to do in response to God's creation, the God's creation that you see, and how could we engage with it more in line with his heart?
Well, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but so is the whole universe. And when we think about our planet, and this ties back really, if you like, to Psalm 8, we have a responsibility to our planet. The integration of all the different ecosystems which enable us to live here and all the other parts of the world, the way they function together is quite extraordinary. And yet we humans are now disturbing and destroying that. And so we need to think about quite deeply is how we are reacting to the wonder of God's natural world.
Wonderful, wonderful. Should we give John a round of applause? Thank you, John, so much. This is Claire, everyone. Say hi, Claire. Claire, same start for you. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in day-to-day life.
It's quite a straightforward answer. So I spend pretty much half my time either looking after my two boys, or three if you include my husband, Ben. There you go. He told me he'd get a laugh. There we are. Thanks, Ben. I work at Nationwide Building Society in their legal team. And between those two things, there isn't much time left apart from a bit of, you know, trashy telly on the sofa. So...
We've all got time for a bit of trashy telly, Claire. Don't worry. Right. So, Claire, you know, just tell us, for you, when you read Psalms like Psalm 19 and you hear, you know, things that we've heard Julia read to us today, what do you love to sort of think about and dwell on in response to those kind of Psalms?
Well, I think, you know, it probably won't come as much as a surprise, having just disclosed what I do for a job, that I'm drawn to verses 7 and 8 that talk about how God's laws refresh our soul and give us wisdom and bring us joy and help us see things more clearly. And in verse 10, it talks about how these things are more precious than gold. And I think, you know, we know God tells us that he thinks creation is good. We hear in this psalm that creation is declaring God's glory. And we know as Christians that we're supposed to care for creation and also to stand up for justice. And there's lots of places in the Psalms where you hear this message about God's love of justice. One of my favourites is 82. I was just going to read to you. It's just two verses. And it says, "Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people." And I think when you kind of pull all these themes together, what becomes clear to me is that it's my job to defend creation, but it's also my job to stand up for those people who are being impacted by our abuse of it. And, you know, yes, we need to care and protect creation for its own sake. It's a gift from God. Of course, we need to look after it. But when you realise just how much of a sort of social justice issue the climate crisis is, that just like completely cements my response to it. And, you know, like it says in Psalm 19, kind of God's laws make the answer obvious. And I read a couple of articles recently. They both came out of some analysis done by Oxfam. And they sort of like bring this to life quite nicely. One of them was about how almost half the world's population live below the World Bank's poverty line. I think the exact figure was 44%. And if you're a woman, you're more likely to live in extreme poverty, which is like a line even further below the poverty line. So you've got that on one hand. And then in complete contrast, this other article was about how the world's richest 1% will have used up their sort of fair share of this year's carbon budget by the 10th of January. So it's quite a shocking statistic, isn't it? Now, you might be like me. I'm sort of like, I want to jump straight to sort of blaming all the world's problems on a sort of small bunch of billionaires. And that may or may not be justified. We can have that debate another time. But I thought it was interesting that you're in that 1% if you earn £114,000 or more a year. So I know that's a big number, but it's probably a lot closer than, you know, some of us would have assumed. And it's certainly not just a small group of billionaires. And I think what that figure did for me is it put, you know, my own financial situation into a global context. And it really brings to mind the parable of the talents and how, like, the more you are given, the more is expected of you. And that global context of my life is such a challenge about whether I'm taking the call to action in that parable as seriously as I should be.
Thank you so much, Claire. Excuse me. Can I just, for a second, you know, Claire, I've got to know Ben and Claire a bit, and Claire is serious about this stuff in a big way that's changed your life in, you know, that isn't an understatement.
no.
Can you just tell us, just where did that begin for you? You know, your life, the you make choices around this stuff in the day-to-day and the way you've build your life. Where did that all begin for you?
Oh, well, I mean, it's the product of 10 years' work, right? So, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But it started with challenges from other people. You know, I think the very first moment was a challenge from some friends about how we banked. So we changed how we banked. And then it's just, you know, built on that. We had someone from Tier Fund come to a youth group that we were helping with that talked about she'd been involved in some filming for a sort of campaign against sort of fast fashion. And whilst the filming crew were there, they were at a particular factory, and some of you may have heard me tell this story before, but whilst they were there for a month, and in that period of time, 30 women and children were sexually assaulted on their way home because they were paid so little they couldn't afford the bus. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it sort of speaks for itself, doesn't it, that it's those sort of things. They've just chipped away at the, I suppose, the default setting that our culture gives us of just, you know, do what you want, basically, you know, throw away what you want, use what you want, live whatever life you want. And yeah, it's been a decade's work, you know, fighting that kind of like default setting that, you know, all of us grow up in. Yeah.
Claire, as you know, just as you've gone through life, how, you know, just give us some of the ways how, you know, God's creation and your response to it has shaped your life and who you are.
Yeah, I think I'll probably say two things to that. I mean, I think the first kind of practically is it's a real kind of being in nature is like a real antidote to my slightly over-analytical brain. You know, if I'm ever like doubting my faith or anything like that, you know, time in nature, it's such a balm to that. It's so beautiful and intricate, and I guess it sort of goes back to what John was saying. Like, I look at it and my brain is like, it's a completely rational thing that someone amazing made this and someone with great artistry made this.
I think we got a photo of one of your favourite places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bob asked me what is my like happy place, and it is the mountains. So this is one of the Swiss Alps. and this is going off script, sorry. But rather conveniently, my sister now lives in a Swiss Alpine town. So thank you very much. She can never leave. but yeah, so time in nature, you know, does shape me. I think, you know, back to your earlier point around like what sort of things triggered this journey. One of the stories that comes to mind is on one of our holidays, pre-children, can you guess? We were in Borneo, and we'd been in the rainforest for a few days on this river safari, and we'd seen all these amazing animals. And then we were flying across country to the coast. We're in this little plane, and I looked out the window, and all I could see were these like uniform rows of palm oil trees. I don't know if you've... Yeah, that's not actually my picture, but yeah, all you could see was what should have been like vast rainforest, it was just all destroyed as far as the eye could see. And, you know, it's just something in my soul that just knew that was wrong. Again, going back to what Psalm 19 says about, you know, things being made obvious through God's laws, I just knew it was wrong. And I've come back to that moment several times, you know, when I'm thinking about the climate crisis and how I respond to it.
And Claire, as we go out this week, you know, are there a couple of things you could encourage us as a church to engage with that would really help us engage with God through creation?
Yeah, so I'm going to be a bit cliche and start off with praying. I definitely think that this is everyone's job. Everyone has a role to play in fighting the climate crisis. I don't think it's an optional extra. But there are so many ways to engage. I can't say in any individual case, oh, this is your job or this is your job. We all need God's help and guidance to do that. And that, you know, and that is a theme that you can see in my life over the last 10 years, his guidance on what to do next and when. So I would say you've got to pray to get that guidance and that steer. If you want, you know, something slightly more concrete, then I'd probably say a couple of things. Like, one is to think about simplicity. You know, if you think about those statistics that I told you earlier, I think for some of us in this room, not everyone, but for some of us, we just have to make peace with the fact that we need to make our material lives smaller so that other people can have more. We just got to get sort of on with that. And one of my all-time favourite quotes that sums this up, I don't know if you've got it, yeah. God, I turn around, but here we go. Yes, this is from John Stott, and he says, "Our Christian obedience demands a simple lifestyle, irrespective of the needs of others. Nevertheless, the fact that 800 million people are destitute and that about 10,000 die of starvation every day make any other lifestyle indefensible." So I think that's it sort of gets you in the gut, doesn't it? So that's one thing I would say. And then the other thing I would say is like not to let fear of failure get in your way. Or the other way to think of it is not to let perfection be the enemy of good. So we live in an imperfect world. We are imperfect. The decisions and the solutions that we're going to need to make to fight the climate crisis will be imperfect. But please don't let that get in your way of trying. Like, just leave the detail to God and trust that he's going to multiply your efforts, whatever it is that you do.
Come on. Thank you so much, Claire. Claire and I have been emailing a few questions here and there. She said this in one of her emails.
Oh, no, you're not actually going to quote. I thought it was a joke. You put an emoticon. You put a little smiley face after it.
It's too good. She said, "There are a lot of people who haven't experienced justice, and they might never if Christians don't bring it to them." Isn't that good? And I just thought that this is, Claire, sorry for embarrassing you, but
you
it was too
me.
Good to leave out. And Claire, we really appreciate what you're doing, the choices you're making, and the way that we are learning from you. And just encourage you to have a chat with Claire if you're interested in going a bit deeper in this stuff. I know Tabs and I've learned a lot just from, you know, a friendship and, you know, asking lots of questions along the way. So should we give Claire a round of applause? Okay. And this is Izzy Rangel, everyone.
Hello.
And,
hello.
So we've had a scientist and we've had someone whose heart beats for the things of justice and God's creation. And there's also a thread in the Psalms that we will have noticed in, and we will as we read more and more, that there's this sort of creativity and this creative response to God's creation, who God is, that sort of comes out in the Psalms and through them. And Izzy is a creative, and we are really just delighted, Izzy, to sort of pick your brains a bit about
this
looks like for you as a creative. And then Izzy's going to play us a song to finish, okay? So we're super excited about this. But Izzy, just tell us who you are and what you do in day-to-day life.
So I'm Izzy, and I study at Exeter College, and my A-levels are Fashion and Textiles, BTEC Music, and English. And I've lived in Exeter for 14 years, I believe. And, I love writing a lot, producing with friends, and yeah, just going out and being in nature a lot. It's really lovely. And, just
and when
out,
you
really.
Think of the Psalms, you know, you think of Psalms like Psalm 19. How do you dwell on those psalms, and what do the, you know, how do you like to sort of sit with them and think about them?
So I love like just the opening verse of this, like the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And it just brings me back to like when I remember when we first moved here, and because we live like nearish the quay, and I remember Mum taking us out and there was just this amazing sunset. And I remember going like, wow, and I was like 3. And I still remember it, which I'm like, it's just, I was just in awe. And yeah, I just love, like, yeah, it's just really lovely. And I think like that goes to verse 3, where there's no speech nor language. It just draws your attention to just gaze upon his creation and his beauty. And it's just, I really love that. Yeah.
And Izzy, we've been looking at the Psalms over the last few weeks and how they're sort of the prayers and poetry and the sort of worship of God's people through the ages. And, you know, you write songs, don't you?
Yeah.
And just, do you want to just tell us, how did that start and what do you love to write about?
So I started writing my own material when I was around 15, and it was for my music GCSE. And it was my first song, wasn't actually anything to do with God. It was actually to do with this random person called Mr. Nice Guy. And it was just a bunch of words I just scrabbled together for my GCSE. And that was just quite funny. And then I'd say God really came into the mix probably like a year ago. And I found it like writing a way to just translate my prayers and just really be honest with him. And it's just, I don't really know how to describe it, but I feel like that's a really reassuring thing, that you just don't really know how things emerge, because it's okay not to understand. Because sometimes I'd write something like in the middle of the night and I'd be like, oh, what's, how did that come about? But it's okay not to know. It's just sort of happened. It really just helps me draw closer to him, because it's just, yeah, I really, yeah.
And you've got a song that you're going to sing to us now. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what's the song about, and where does it come from?
It's called Space, and I wrote it back in March last year. And I wrote it like in a time where I was just really feeling quite heavy with like life just being all over the place. And it's just about, it's like, I kind of describe it as like exhaling. So it's just being still and just making time to just be, rather than like overthink what I want to do like all the time. And it's just, yeah, just to be like, God, I've got all of this. I just want to give it all to you. And I know that you'll like work it out and do the rest. And just having like that reassurance that you're okay and you're held. It's just like being like held by your dad.
Come on. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you've just described what the Psalms are in an amazing way. So, Izzy, would you mind? Is that all right? If you come and take your place behind the piano, we'll get out of your way so we can see. And you take it away when you're ready.
Reach for your hand, pull me out.
burning me out, I give my all to you. It's you I choose. I've got space to be, space to thrive, space to dance and to feel alive. I know my worth. I look through your eyes and find your light. I know that everything will be
Wonderful. Wasn't that amazing? So good just to hear, you know, like we've been reading through the Psalms, is it? You know, just hearing, you know, a one from today, from or from, you know, the last little while of your life. So thank you so much for that. Shall we stand together? We're gonna end but just by worshiping the Lord with one final song, if that's okay. Just wonder as the band come up, whether we just take a minute just to ask the Lord by His Spirit just to come and breathe afresh on our response to Him and His wonder and majesty in creation. So it might be something that we've heard as a response in John or Claire or Izzy's life today. It's just moved something fresh in us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask, would you come and move in each of our hearts afresh now? Lord, I want to pray for the creatives in the room. Lord, those who write, sing, and play, sculpt, paint, who craft words together. Lord, we pray you would pour out your Spirit afresh on the creatives. In our family afresh today. God, we pray for those whose hearts beat for justice, who can see the needs of others in a deeper way, want to respond to it with their whole lives, starting with the first step. God, we pray, move us into action as your people. Lord, give us a fresh vision for change we can make in our lives, which honors others who will never know and never see, but it will make a difference, Father. And Lord, open our eyes to the wonder and the beauty and the majesty of your creation in the most minuscule detail. And in the big picture, as we open our eyes in a fresh way as we go out of the building today, as we go about our lives this week, open our eyes afresh to you. Holy Spirit, come and breathe on your church. In Jesus' name.